seed, the kernel of truth that is the revelation in Jesus Christ for all time, is the Paschal Mystery. And the Paschal Mystery is that revelation in the human body of Jesus of Nazareth, what was always true within the triune God, and that is that love is a laying down of life. Each of the three persons is laying down their life for the other two and receiving that same complete self-offering back. That's what divine love is. That's what love is. St. John says God is love. There is no other love than this. But the world is telling us an opposite message all the time. And so we have to be converted to this message over and over again. And in some ways, you could say, well, I get tired of hearing that, you know. But there is no other truth outside of that one. There is no participation in the liturgy other than self-offering. Yes, we sing, we stand, we sit, we kneel, we process, we do all these things, but they are intended to lead us into one thing, and that is to offer ourselves on the altar along with Christ for the salvation of the world. Self-offering, self-denial, dying to self. That's what love is. Learning how to let go of my self-control, to let go of my own needs, to be more concerned about the other than about myself. This is who Jesus is, and this is who we are as his body. In the person of Jesus, God has revealed once and for all what it looks like to be God. And then Jesus breathes his spirit into us so that we might become children of God, so that we might learn how to love as God loves and participate in God's very life. Matthew's gospel makes a distinction between the disciples and the crowd. And that's never more clear than in this passage we heard this morning. The disciples, they come up to Jesus after he tells this parable, and they say, why do you speak to them in parables? Them meaning the crowd. These are the curiosity seekers, the large group that would hang around Jesus from time to time, seeking to see who this wonder worker was, you know, looking for some entertainment by a miracle or something like that, but they were not converted. And so Jesus speaks to them in parables because they don't understand. They hear, but they don't understand. They are those people that are described by the sower. Some of it falls on rocky ground, and there's no soil there. It just doesn't take root, and it withers. And others take it in for a while, but then the temptations and the lure of the world pull them back away again, and they die. But there's good soil, fertile, tilled, ready for sowing. And that's the disciples. And they have actually become converted. So they can hear this message and they can take it to heart. They can hear this message and be converted to change from the way this world sees human life to the way God sees it. And those people, those disciples, they join the rest of creation in groaning in anticipation of the fulfillment of all that could be, the kingdom. Paul's image in that letter to the Romans is so wonderful. The notion that, and Paul has this cosmic vision about Christ. The whole of creation participates in Christ. There is nothing that can't potentially participate in Christ. Christ is the Word through whom everything came into being. And apart from him, nothing came to be. He is the source of it all. But he's also the end goal of it all. Because while it all came from him, in the end, it is all returning to him. And that's the kingdom. And creation kind of knows that in its own instinctive way. and it reflects God's glory, and it praises God by its vastness, by its beauty, by whatever participation it has in the Godhead. But it does not have a voice, and it does not have reason. That is given to human beings. We are created so much in the image of God that we have a mind and we have a heart. We can love like God loves. And it's our duty as priests of Jesus Christ to give voice to what creation cannot say. To assign that to God's glory. To say, to look out over the Flint Hills and see God and name it and say, oh God, thank you for creating this beauty. Or to go into the Rockies and thank God for creating this marvel. Creation praises God in its own instinctive way, but it cannot give voice to it. That's our job. And creation is groaning in anticipation of the final end of all things, when all will be in God and God will be in all. That's another vision of St. Paul. And we give voice to that groaning by our prayers. We anticipate the kingdom that we long for. There's something in us that is always dissatisfied because this world doesn't reflect God like it should, because the human race is still affected by original sin, even though it shouldn't be, that there's still war, there's still rape and murder, there's still injustice, there are all these ills that exist in our world, and we long for the day when those will all be resolved. We long for the day when there will be no more distinction between disciples and the crowd. Everyone will be disciples. And one of the things we're doing here every Sunday morning is we are voicing that agony, that anticipation, that longing for what could be and for what will be in God's plan.